Sherman's got a problem with federal funds.
I
set us till 4 o'clock.
All right, so let's go to specific accounting's summary page.
If we can go back, you have one objection and abeyance because you wanted to see the tax returns, and
I wanted you to you wanted to, because I don't know, you wanted to let him know through a notice what base stamps the tax returns are referred to.
Well, what you asked me is where are the tax returns, and I said, well, we haven't gotten the specific objections, I haven't had a chance to cross-reference, and I was able to find them on the brief.
Oh, you were,
so
okay.
You
want to let him know what they are?
Sure, in Exhibit 1, there's an entire section called Tax Returns. And
I see that.
It has all the tax returns from 2010 to 2013 for each of the trusts.
All right.
But they're not signed. All of them are.
They're all.
I want the signed ones, obviously, especially where one of the counter-defendants is the guy producing the unsigned accounts. And by the way, Your Honor, you asked why those two people were sitting there for us.
They're witnesses.
No, I know.
As they outside, they're not witnesses, they're allowed to stay.
So is Mr. Rose here as a witness?
If he's a witness, he has to leave. If he's not a witness, he stays. I mean, it's an open court proceeding. You can bring in anyone you want.
Are you a witness? Or?
If he's not a witness, then he can stay.
Are you billing us for this?
No.
Okay.
Your Honor, by the way, as far as I can tell, and I haven't gone to paper, all these appear signed to me.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? So here's the thing. Let's not take a court time checking that out. I'll say on the tax returns then the same thing that I said. I'm going to give you X days to look at this. Now you see a section tax return. It's right there. If there's an unsigned one, you'll provide with the X days, as I did with the other one, a notice to Mr. Leslie that you're continuing to maintain your objection on that ground.
So
can I just make that objection to him? I can show him right on the stage they're not signed.
Well, show him one that's not signed.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, and tell me the OPP numbers so
okay.
I follow along.
Just going to give you three. This is the separate. This is 2010 for Daniel, and this is 2010 for Josh. So. Record, Mr. Bernstein, put every page of the tax return. You only have to sign the front page of each tax return, so I'm not sure what's wrong with this.
So he thinks he can find it, but
the seated ones, that's the one that one. So you get to those.
These are the tax returns for those years.
Well, you produce seated ones, and you set seated to them, so you have those ones?
That's what we produce. I can't tell you because you're flipping through the paper carefully. Your Honor, as a practical
can't pull them up on my email.
Procedural matter, insofar as we've already gone through
Well, we're going to take a look at the rest of these and see where they stand.
Okay, because the only reason I'm asking is if there's any objections that are non-evidentiary, or if we can sort of find the evidentiary ones, this way my witness.
Oh, your witness, okay, all right, I stand.
This is the second time he's been in Florida.
Okay, all right.
What?
Okay, we'll get them. The CBIZ ones he referenced.
Okay, how, okay, so on these two, these are the last of the general ones, how much time do you need to look through just for the signatures and the other thing that I said on the other one?
I'm going to need time to look through all these documents, but I actually saw the CBIZ ones he referenced, and I can't find them in there. He won't show me which ones they are.
How about 10 days?
Yeah.
Okay, 10 days.
For 12 and 13.
12 and 13. Okay. All right. Okay, now, progress here. Let's go through the objections to the summary page. All right, looking at the summary page. Okay, and let's see what your objection is. Okay, so the answer is number 18, thank you.
Right.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right.
So can we say not a
yeah,
that's
valid
not objection.
That's not an objection, but right. Thanks, because it's kind of the way we've been doing it, so
right.
Yes. Okay. So the summary page is just that, it's a summary?
Right.
Okay, so in the counting, a summary is a compilation of other data that's more specific.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with the summary. But
well, I'm saying it's based on non-existing data at the time.
Well,
so we have
no,
none of
here,
this.
No, because
right.
He refers to each page in the summary that they refer to. So it's there.
No, with the following items on the summary need.
Well, no, but the summary is okay. No, there's nothing wrong with the summary.
Okay.
The summary is a summary.
Okay.
It's okay. All right. So 19 is overruled. All right.
Oh, okay. So we're still going to go through the other part. That's what you're saying.
Okay. Objection 20 is overruled. They do not have a statutory duty to account prior to the time of the appointment. That's the law. Okay. Number 21, Mary. This is all the summary page.
Right.
So, see, the problem is, you know, if there is an objection, the summary page is a reference page.
I gotcha.
Okay, you can
object to
those. 21 and 22 are
okay.
Because those are just summary pages. Okay,
okay, so now I'm
all right. Okay. Objections to receipts of principal.
By the way, Your Honor,
yes.
I might misunderstand what these accounting rules are,
yeah.
But when it says in the trust and estate trust that they're supposed to follow some form of accounting rules, what are they referring? He said it wasn't generally accepted.
It's not, you know, GAAP principles are principles.
Right.
That's different than our statutory, we have a statute that deals with.
What is that?
What's in the trust? It's the 736-01...
08135.
08135, that was it.
And what does that refer to?
And then... Yeah, a trust account.
Where
do you
see it?
It's on... Yeah, this says what goes into a trust account.
Oh.
The statute says it.
08135?
Yeah.
Okay.
You've been looking at that the whole time, you see it? So they identify the trust.
Right, right.
They say who's the trustee of Oppenheimer and the period of time they have on the cover sheet.
Right.
That, like 2A is there. You know, there's no magic word, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I got that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, this is not, I mean, Mr. Bernstein, here's the thing. The form is, I mean, if the accountant is an accountant that's ever done these and this firm has, they all use a format that mirrors this. They all do it. They make that different piece of paper and they look different, but it all has the same information in it. So
okay.
The first one is, so Let me look at your specific objections, so. Okay, so this is objection to receipts.
Well, I need that piece because it actually has to be, except that it's got to provide something that's intelligent.
Okay, so let me ask this question on, we're going to deal with the receipt section. In your book here, I'm going to have this answer when you show this to me, on page one. Okay, so, correct me if I'm wrong, in exhibit one, if I turn to page 1790 in exhibit one, is that where the cash on hand info is going to come from?
Most of these are pages 34 through 30.
Right, but how about the first one? It says 1790.
The first one is the last statement that we were able to receive from Stanford Trust Company, which is about 3 months prior to our appointment. So that's the basis. It's substantially identical to the number that we received as cash on hand, because some of the cash, it looks like, was either reinvested, but the numbers, the total receipts come out to about the same thing.
Okay, and again, page 34 means 34 of the big book.
Yes, right.
Okay, so Mr. Bernstein, this document that has those cheat sheet numbers to it, you know, I'm talking about in bold.
The big dark thing?
This thing in bold. Yeah, when did you get that?
We just got this just now with the corresponding things.
Your Honor, we brought it as a demonstrative exhibit because...
No, I know, but now when did you do that additional work?
I just cross-referenced it.
Okay, so that means if somebody wants to know where the third item down, 9/20/2010, Vanguard Equity Index, whatever that means, right, and the value. I look at 34. Let me just do that. Let me get a sample here.
I didn't ever say. Oh, we're just getting this. So I mean.
I know.
Okay.
Be patient.
Okay.
Just trying to see how it matches up to my benefit.
Okay.
Which entry are you referring to? So
I'm just doing the third one down. Looking at page 34.
Right. The dollar amount, though. So 42/15/61 number.
Just as a sample. So let me get the page 34. Hold on 1 second.
In your honor.
Hold on 1 second.
No, but what time is it? We're going to have to deal with that. Oh, it does?
If you'd like me to pull it out, I can end that for you.
I think it's because I'm going to go really good.
Halfway down the page, you have the dotted line going across.
Yep.
It's the third entry below the dotted line. If the number matches up, 42/15/61.
Okay. All right, so that would be an example of how you find it. I mean, that's from an accounting point of view, because we deal with accountants all the time. I mean, it's very, here's the thing, you remember this. Accountings are dry, mechanical adventures. There's not too much elucidation of it. Remember, like when accountants start to elucidate, that's usually a sign that they're going outside of what they're supposed to do with giving opinions. This is no one's opinion. You look it up, and, you know, it's grunt work.
No, all I'm saying is I get it.
Okay.
But that giant book and right. This giant book are, when I did this document, listen, I'm going to need to amend my trust accounting now. I need time to go through that and amend these statements, because at the time they were true, all these ones you just overruled. Meaning, you're overruling some of these things here.
Well, the general ones are different. This is now we're at the
point. Okay, and on these, for
where
example.
You're saying, right. How do I know that on 9/20, there was $4,215.61 of this particular Vanguard item? Well, now you see it.
It just took you 15 minutes to get to that answer. I haven't had the time yet.
Here's my question.
Right.
I'm trying to be,
okay.
Listen.
I am.
Okay. Is, for the rest of these objections, are they all line item objections referring to a complaint but she can't find how the accountant determined the item.
Correct, not all of them, but some are specific to other things, but yeah.
Okay, all right, so here's what I'm gonna do, just listen how I'm gonna do this, we're gonna go through this, I got a better idea. I don't understand 24's objection, I don't understand it.
Wait, did we skip 23?
No, I'm gonna come back to that, just remind me, because I know what I'm gonna do there. I don't understand the objection to 24.
Well, they're basically saying that, you know, putting the starting balance, but we've gone through that. See, I'm gonna have to adjust this, because they have given information. Oh, somebody's contacting you, Your Honor.
All right.
Somebody's contact peeping through.
Okay, all right, that tells me I have an emergency, that's my emergency breaker.
And can I say one thing we've got? This kind of came on us from our kids, we have to pick up our minor child who is at school, done at 4. And we thought we'd be close to done by now.
Okay, that's why I'm trying to get something, let me go look at this, because I think I see this. So, some of these I can rule on right away already. Okay, number 25 is the objection has to be overruled because you can't object.
Got it.
That's the accounting.
We've already went through it.
Yeah, okay, we went through that. Okay, right, that's overruled. Right. I'm going to come back to 23 and 24 overruled, 25 is overruled, 23 I'm coming back to, let me read 26. Okay, 26 I'm coming back to, let me read 27.
Yeah, that's good.
Where is that entry? Is that in the district? Where do I find that one, Mr. Bernstein? Is that in the receipt, or where is that?
I think it's in a few places, but I think that's the one we're on right now.
Page 31.
31.
I believe it's front page 2. It's an LIC Holdings 6 units.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Yes.
LIC Holdings. 1 1/3 interest, 6 units, value 0. That's the one?
I believe that's what it is.
So you physically got those holdings, whatever they are, right?
We're in the whole, we're in the receipt section, correct, Your Honor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, second page 2, midway down. So the accountant says they got, at the starting point, a receipt of those holdings. They got the documents. For the 1.33% interest.
Right.
And 6 units of LIC Holdings, Inc., whatever that is.
Right.
Okay, so what's wrong with that?
The value.
Okay, so they say the value is 0.
Right.
Okay.
Well, no, it doesn't say an A. Well, no, does it, are you looking at, are you telling us that it says 0?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So,
what's wrong with that?
Okay, so that means when, upon receipt of those items, okay, they don't have a statement, they just have holdings, and the receipted value is 0.
Well, right, okay. So they need to show us how they got to 0.
Okay, so does that change anywhere along the line of these accountings?
No, Your Honor, let me explain why.
Okay.
These are the assets that we're transferring in kind. We're going to be transferring LSE Holdings and Bernstein Family Realty in kind. Mr. Wirth will testify, offer our first testimony, that Oppenheimer never independently valued these assets. BFR is the Bernstein's home. It is worth what it's worth. It's got whatever mortgage it has. We got those information from the public records. LSC Holdings, each trust has 1.33% interest.
So the total is
4% owned between the three trusts.
4%.
We're going to transfer those in kind. So again, for purposes of this accounting, it's immaterial. We're transferring in kind. They're worth whatever they're worth. And by the way,
I get that, Mr. Bernstein. I get that frequently on small businesses, not publicly traded companies, as long as they're identifying incorrectly, what's wrong with that?
Well, Your Honor, can I answer? You can look at that for now.
Right,
That's, their, Lick Holding is composed of several companies, Your Honor. You can see that right before 2008-09, they're pulling in $36, $40 million of...
What is this document you gave me?
Well, that's a bait stamp number document from somebody, the history and nature of the business. I think it's a Tesher and Spalinas production document.
All right, and there's a tax return for this company.
This isn't your site.
I'm objecting to page one of your statement.
Well, here's the thing, there's a tax return, what's, oh, TS means Tesher and Spalinas, I assume it's their bait stamps?
Yeah.
Okay, so this has, for 2 years, this company, what's the nature of this, what business is this company in?
It says on the front.
There's five companies?
Yeah, well, there's a lot more we found since.
Oh, that's what it says, though.
I think we're, yeah, I know, but I've now got evidence of like 14 or 15. But the accounting doesn't even mention that, and under accounting for these companies, the accounting says for companies that are unlisted, I believe, the rules say, that they have to, you know, give you some kind of picture of the company. Yeah.
So let me ask you, do you take a position that if the, are you taking a position that regardless of the value of these interests, it's appropriate in accounting to identify the interest and say zero value, which really means no value determined?
It's a placeholder, Your Honor, because we're transferring it in kind.
No value determined. Is that what the zero means? No value determined?
Exactly. No value determined. We're not purporting to independently value the company. There's case law that's quite clear that trustees that aren't also managing a company, a small extent company, have no duty to independently account for that company.
But they're holding the trust.
We own a small
that they're
percent.
Holding Bernstein Family Realty, which holds the percent of the in the trust they're operating. So they and their managers, supposedly, of that BFR company.
Talking about two different things.
Well,
since Bernstein Family Realty owns the house they bought.
Correct. And
the trust owns these stocks.
Own those stocks. Oh, right. Those units.
So right now we're talking about LIC Holdings.
Yeah, LIC Holdings.
Right. LIC, the trust keepers. The three trusts collectively own 4%. We produced to Mr. Bernstein the K-1s that we received for those companies.
Okay.
I have the case law that stands for the proposition that we're not required to do more. We'll get a transfer in kind. They're worth whatever they're worth. Mr. Bernstein has raised these exact claims in the main estate proceeding against the Ted Bernstein, who's the manager of the company. And if Elliot Bernstein believes that they're worth more than they're worth, he's going to be litigating that in another form.
He doesn't. Here's the thing. It's not that they're worth more than they're worth. Everything says zero. I think what you meant, again, was not determined. The value has not been determined.
Yes.
Zero could mean no value. It's worthless. You're not making the claim it's worthless.
Correct. And Mr. Worth will so testify, the accounting program does not let you put in a non-number.
Okay, all right. But let me tell you something. Okay, so here, Mr. Leslie, I disagree with your position. When I look at the accounting, okay, if the accounting says zero, that means it has no value. I don't care if you have to handwrite it in. If what was meant to say was no value determined, you have to say that because that's a big difference because this is an accounting is a report. You're reporting to Daniel, Joshua, and Jake something about the receipts, and you're saying a zero value came in. Okay. So someone makes him an offer of $10 for it, then they go, great, I'll sign over my interest for $10 because my accountant said it's worth zero. Okay, but in fairness, if you say we didn't determine the value, that may be correct, but I think you have to say that.
But Your Honor, we did say, if you look at the disclosure statements on the back of the, on the very last page.
Okay, sure.
In the accounting.
All right, maybe you did. Let me take a look. I didn't get that for it.
Okay,
LIC Holding, let's see.
See page, the very last page of the accounting?
Yeah, but you say that, then you say zero.
Well,
Well, no, the very last page of the account, the disclosure statement.
Yeah.
Paragraph four.
Yeah.
Okay.
LIC Holdings is a holding company that was in the business of selling premium finance life insurance or related loans. Based upon all the information seen, the carrying value has been reflected at zero. The value, okay, so that means they say it's zero.
What we're saying is we don't have any information, so we're not reflecting the value.
No chance, that's not what it says. It says the value may be different if you get more information, but on some information you have, you're saying zero. That's different than saying no value determined. There you determine the value at zero based upon all the information received. I don't know what that is.
So if you're happy, if it makes you happy, Your Honor, we could file a supplemental accounting reflecting the value is undetermined.
Well, and again, I think you have to do this. To comply with the accounting rule on that line item, if you're going to say zero, then you're going to be asked to furnish the information received that left to that. And that's not done.
Okay, well, we did produce the K-1s.
Right, okay, but the K-1s don't say zero.
Okay.
We have someone know by looking at K-1 that the value of, this is stock holdings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Your stock certificates, it says six units, maybe it's an LLC, I don't know, but just look at it. It says Inc. So if it's 4% total owned of stock, and it says it's a sub-S corporation, so it's a stock holding company. If 4% of it's held by the three children, it says, based upon the information received, the carrying value has been reflected at zero. First of all, here's the other problem. What's carrying value mean?
I believe that's an accounting term of art. Each trust accounting has to reflect an acquisition value and a carrying value.
Okay.
And I'm not an accountant, so I can't tell you what the term is.
Okay, all right. But if you want to say zero, you have to send the documents to back that up. If you want to amend your accounting on that item, you have to do the whole thing over again. Just step on that, you can do an amendment to the accounting, and on that, if you mean no value determined, you can write that and change this disclosure statement to say, we're going to transfer this in kind, and we're not undertaking the value of the company. I mean, a lot of times, that's okay, because the cost is so great, it's so subjective anyway, and it's not meaningful for an accountant.
So it will be acceptable to you, just to make sure I'm clear, if we file a supplement to the final accounting, amending that thing to just say we were not assigning
that. If you're allowed to, when you do the accounting, do that. You have to ask the accountants if that's what they're allowed to do. Can they say, we're not going to value it? Because what happens, Mr. Barsi, if they say, for us to value it, it'll cost $10,000. And that may be, you know, a lot of work and time to value it.
For $70 million of income in the companies, one of them, 2 years preceding this,
this is from 08, 07, 08, I don't know what's happened since then. But yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So
it has your net income of $1.8 million in 08. So I mean, what happened to that net income?
What happened is, Your Honor, they were in the premium finance business, and the premium finance business collapsed in 2010 as a result of court ruling saying that premium finance is essentially a gambling thing and not allowed to do it.
Are there updated returns?
That's your say, isn't it?
Just give me an example. You're asking what happened. Your Honor, I can tell you this. We have received documents from LIC Holdings subject to a confidentiality agreement that we are not permitted to produce absent a court order, which I don't think Your Honor can enter without having the manager of LIC Holdings here as a party.
You're a minority. The Bernsteins are a minority interest holder in this company. Okay, well, here's the thing. The accountant, you need to amend on that item.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to accept or not. I'm going to tell you what's not acceptable. If zero is what you put, because you say, the accountant says that's the carrying value with all the information received, he has to show how he derived that value.
Okay, but otherwise we can just put undetermined.
If he wants to do another one, listen carefully, I'm not getting my pocket pick. If what he wants to say is no value determined, he can say that, but I'm not saying that's okay. That's where we want to caution you, okay? He can say that if the accountant says that's a proper evaluation to say that in this type of company. I don't know what it is.
Well, just so I don't have to come back in a second, can I show you some case law that talks about us not having to account for a...
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what we're here to do.
I just don't want to amend the accounting and then come back and have the same.
Okay, all right, I'm all right with that, let's see.
This is a law of trust fund over. Here, wait for a sec, so I can find the right slide.
Can you have it, highlight it, okay?
Yeah, just bear with me to find it here. Okay, this is, I have several things citing just different principles, so bear with me.
And I'd like to just state for record, this is the first time I'm seeing this, well, the non-record, it's not been created.
You want to know, let me show you. Stay with you for the non-record.
Which kind of makes this whole thing silly.
Let me show you another case.
People do this stuff without reporters all the time.
Really?
This is all the time.
It's a New York case, but it's the only case that I can find that's on point.
Your Honor, I'm just point, I'd just like to submit Trip Scott's letter to Oppenheimer as our children's attorneys, where they requested these kind of accountings in February 13, 2013. Here I go.
Have this letter from the lawyer, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you're going to be amending. All right, now here's the thing. I'm going to say one more time. I am not approving anything that you do because it's premature. So when I said it sounds like you're saying not no value determined, I don't know that's proper. That's what it sounded like. Now I see here on the disclosure statements that maybe the accountant came up with something different. Okay, the accountant actually looked at documents and determined there was zero value. I don't know, maybe that's accurate, but it certainly doesn't show that.
Okay, but Your Honor, may I also point you to a couple of persons in trust that talk about our
view? Please, Your Honor, did he say, correct me if I heard this wrong, that this accountant has documents that my children own stock in a company and they're being withheld from us and nobody even told us they exist?
I don't know.
Didn't he just say that to you?
No.
He did. No?
I didn't hear that. Okay.
He said, wait, can I correct that? Because that's very serious here. I mean, if there's a county going on under the rug and the beneficiaries can't see it.
You mean when he said the confidentiality agreement?
No, he said Lick Holdings has documents submitted to those accounts under seal.
LSC Holdings has produced documents to us at our request pursuant to a confidentiality agreement. And under that confidentiality agreement, we are not permitted to produce them without court order.
So it's beneficial.
But here's the thing. Okay, so I'm not ruling on that. I want you to do an amendment to that account. Okay, if you want to stick with zero, you have to furnish the backup documents. If you're going to put something else, the accountant needs to be able to have confidence, or Mr. Worth. Okay, Mr. Worth has to be confident that whatever else is in there, if he does say, no value determined, that's a proper 736.08135 disposition of that matter.
Well, I can bring him up right now. He will testify that Oppenheimer has not assigned a value.
Well, that's not true, because his disclosure statement says something different by the accountant. So you want to testify that way, then I'll bring the accountant in. He'll say something different, and now we have a conflict under oath. Why would you want to set that to yourself up for that?
Well, can I set that up? I'd love to call Mr. Holmworth in right now and ask him that question.
No, because he's not the one who prepared the
disclosure statement. Well, he says he's going to swear to it.
The accountant. I don't know how he can say that anyway. Mr. Rustin,
well,
isn't the accountant the one who's prepared? care of this?
The accountant preparing it based upon the statements provided by Oppenheimer. The accountant will testify and have to prepare very
well. The accountant has statements by Oppenheimer and maybe other documents from LIC Holdings, true?
Yes.
Okay, but here's the thing. You're saying that the accountant is going to do a new line item evaluation number or statement. They're going to rely upon documents that they got from the company that are under seal of confidentiality. When they're asked to provide backup for whatever they say, they're going to say no because we can't furnish it.
What they're going to say is they have incomplete information and they
testifying on their behalf.
What they're going to say is they have incomplete information and absent an exhaustive investigation of a forensic accounting of LIC Holdings, there's no way they can determine with any certainty.
Right, so they're going to say no value determined. They're going to have to say have an asterisk and an explanation for how it is that that's the appropriate endpoint of that matter, okay, under the trust accounting rule. Mr. Bernstein can go ahead and say, let me find out some more about it. I'm going to call up the accountant. You can call the accountant and ask a question about it?
No, because I don't know who it is. I don't know the name of the person who did the accounting.
I mean, he could be short of coming back to court with an objection if he's satisfied about that information. True or not?
I doubt he's going to be satisfied with any explanation.
Well, I want the unsealed information, Your Honor, so if it takes your court order to unseal that stuff and give it to the beneficiary so we can see what they're hiding, that would be good.
No, it's not hiding. It's confidentiality of the company.
Well, we own it.
You have one minority interest. You may not be entitled to it. Don't assume you are. There's more.
Well, I'm entitled to rules of that they have to give me accounting for
those
shares.
Ordinarily, Mr. Parsley, they may not have gotten the data.
Right.
Okay, the company could withhold it from them.
Right.
LIC could say, I'm not giving you the data. If I give it to you, I'm only giving it to you for this limited purpose, and you agree to hold it only for that limited purpose. Otherwise, it goes back. Yeah, but it depends upon the agreement they had to get the documents in the first place, because otherwise LIC would say, I'm not giving it to you.
Okay, well, Your Honor, we've asked them under the Florida statutes as shareholders, multiple times.
But you're a 5% holder. You're a very small minority.
But Florida statute allows us to ask for.
You might be able to ask.
They're supposed to provide, and they were the trustee for that stock.
All right. Okay. All right. I got it. We're moving on.
Okay.
Once again, a primary argument here is we can go through all this, but it's immaterial because we're passing it along in kind. They're getting what they're getting. So whatever they're getting, whatever it's worth, is what it's worth. If you go through all this, I cannot tell you how much money my client has spent.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So there is no financial transactions as a result of the trustee holding the stock?
No, we know. All we did was hold the stock. There was no transactions in the stock. All we were doing is transferring the stock. We're going to retail it.
But so here's the thing. So since you're accounting from 2010 to 14, you need to describe in what you're going to file the fact that these shares were received in kind from whoever you got them from, okay, and that they've been held, and that there's been no financial transactions, no deposits, no dividends, things like that. If there was a dividend, they're allowed to know that. It means the stock, the units haven't been sold, they haven't been encumbered, there's been no dividends, and they're in the same in-kind position now as they were when you received. Is that it?
Yeah, and any dividends would have been disclosed to the accounting.
So it's in there then.
It's not in there because there weren't any dividends. Dividends would have been disclosed.
This is hard to have an accounting hearing, A, under these circumstances, but B, with no accountant here. And him acting as the accountant. Is he the accountant?
No. Usually you have the accountant here. Right?
And I don't want to get to this whole hearing on that basis.
No. Here's what I'm doing. All right, stop. Hold on. We got so many more of these things we're never going to finish unless we change the tactic. Here's what we're doing. I'm stopping at 27.
Right.
Okay. 28 and beyond, Mr. Bernstein.
Yes, sir.
You now have that magic cheat sheet that has all the bank stamp numbers from Exhibit 1 to which every line item in the accounting and purse.
Thank you, I do.
Candace has that front of her.
Correct, okay. Yes, sir.
All right. You're going to do the following. It's kind of the way I treat a fee here. Mm-hmm. They furnish you the data. You look at it, and if you're going to continue to maintain the objection you wrote, because the objection you wrote, a lot of the objections are, I can't find the line item that they got. Well, if you see it, then you're going to abandon that objection to that item, okay?
Okay.
So I'll let you maintain my notice. All I want you to do is this. Listen carefully. Starting with item 28, you're going to file a notice to counsel that says the following. From 28 to the end, one answer could be abandoned. If you file abandoned on that number, that's the end of it, okay? It could be abandoned. You know why you're abandoning it. You may have found the answer in this material.
With this stuff.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
If you don't say abandoned, meaning you want to maintain the objection, you're to write a one, now that you see the source, a one-sentence basis for continuing to maintain that objection. Not another objection, but that objection.
Don't go into the whole reason until I get here.
Right.
Okay.
So, because what they're saying is, in the accounting, they're saying, if what we wrote here, $22.16 was received on a certain date in 2011. Here in this book is where we pulled that from. It's the statement that shows we received that.
I totally agree.
Because that's what, you know, to be candid with you, a lot of what you have dealing with the issues that I think start probably with either Stanford or Spolina and Tesher. The accountant, again, takes bank statements. They're not auditors. They're not auditing. They're not determining the truthfulness. They're saying, we're making this statement. Here is all the receipts that we got in, and here's where they were from.
Totally got.
So all they're doing, this is usually a pretty easy, and it's not, because at the end of the day, if I sustain an objection, that says for the accountant, furnish the bank statement. Just furnish it.
Right.
Don't editorialize. There's no editorializing on it. Okay?
Right. Okay.
All right. How much time do that?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, A, now that you took the last 4 days of us trying to helter-skelter through these documents, which we got through maybe 30 pages, literally, a month, and I'm going to want to amend my...
Well, don't amend. I don't want you to do anything yet.
So is the amendment you're looking for that thing you just said where I go now through 28 and I say the 28's okay because I saw that in there.
You know, if you say abandoned, the only word I want you to say, if you're not maintaining the objection, is abandoned.
And then otherwise maintaining objection?
And then just say objection continues, something like that, in one sentence, why?
And a why.
And a why, for one sentence, because...
Okay, I got it.
He's done a good job now that we have that... in pointing you to the line item for the account.
I got it. This would have been a lot easier.
Very few that continue because on all of these, they're numbers.
Yeah, I saw.
He's just matching up a number to a number.
That's
if there's
right.
a math mistake, that's generally what we get in accounting. The dividends show this, it's not there. Or someone says, here's a check that I got, it's not showing on.
I can give you one example right now from this that's going to cause a lot of trouble, Kim. Okay, in their new stuff,
and Your Honor, the new stuff that he's talking to, can I introduce that as evidence? Okay. I want to make sure that there's no question that he's got plenty ahead of time. We introduced this to him 2 weeks ago. I'm showing you, this is a petitioner's notice of intent to use summaries. Summary of how all the tax returns.
Whoa. Do I get to see any of that?
Yeah. I have an extra copy. Will you hand that to him? This is what you confirmed received a few weeks ago. This is a business record certification with more base stamp documents. Those relate to the tax refund and the last statement received by stamp.
There you go, Your Honor.
To refer to you.
This is what I was referring to. Don't see you want.
Yes, those were.
Oh, Your Honor.
So they have every stitch.
Okay, I got it.
Your Honor, these are tax returns I was referring to.
Show him.
In this.
Was it outside?
Yeah, here. Goldstein Lewin unsigned page OPP 001537.
But this 1537?
Correct.
This is the backup to the stuff we already produced.
1537. Okay, looking at the new book you just gave me, 1537. Daniel Bernstein Trust. 2008 return. And
for the record, this is required. This is the term required to Eisenhower's appointment.
Okay.
But it's not signed.
So?
And he's making references to it in the account. And I've asked for a signed tax return. So that's what I was trying to explain to you.
So is it, Mr. Leslie, shouldn't you do this if you're going to put in the book an unsigned document, which could be a draft? No one knows that it's not. Don't you have to have an explanation that says he tried to get a signed document, couldn't get one, or?
Yes, Your Honor, and that's the very reason, again, the same reason we did this cross-reference chart is the same reason we did this summary. The tax returns, and again, it's, you know, I can't make Mr. Bernstein read this stuff. This says tax year 2008, original return filed, it shows the payments listed, refund check was received, amended returns filed, tax year 2009, and it goes through every year and says what was done. Then there's a letter from Oppenheimer to the Department of Treasury, dated November 16, 2010, Oppenheimer 1538, the very next page he's looking at, amended 2008 Form 1041, voided United States Treasury check, the check we're returning has been whatever, and it shows a voided check, and then it has a copy of the income tax return, and then it has the amended return. So you have everything in here, and I just can't make Mr. Bernstein read.
When you say everything in here, you mean?
It's in the backup documents showing it. Mr. Bernstein was questioning not the tax returns. So we had to go through and pull not only, and usually when you check to project an accounting, you're checking to a disbursement. We're actually having to pull, you know, documents.
Here's the thing, Mr. Bernstein, I'm turning the page here.
Yeah.
They may have had the 1537 return. You see that? Page 1537, the one that doesn't have a signature?
Right.
Okay. Turn the page to 1540. There's the amended return. And signed.
1540 is unsigned.
That's unsigned. There, you're right. That's unsigned.
Okay, Your Honor, look, it's going to take me months to go through these documents, verify them, check with the IRS, etc. These documents should have been given to the beneficiaries for 2 years. We asked for them. If you saw Christine Yates, a lawyer, asked for them in 2013. Suddenly, this guy gets called up for accounting, and he throws all this, and now I have to do it in a few days, and I haven't done it fast enough for his liking. And after I already had to prepare an objection and go through all this wasted time, when he could have just gave us those documents or our lawyer in 2013. They've caused all this through these sharp practices. Don't bring an accountant in today. Unsigned tax returns as part of an accounting, withholdings with a value of zero, and now today I'm going to find out zero means. Okay, can I go back to my original point and submit this to you? This is from their current stuff.
What's that?
Please.
Let me ask you what you're talking about.
Yeah. Honey, you have three copies of this?
No,
it's just some dates numbers on it.
What's this mean?
It's Oppenheimer's 9/11 dates. Oh, 9/11.
So wait a minute. That's what was that?
Okay. So you said to me, you're going to have to go through these line by line, which takes time. And look at their new evidence they just dumped on you. And I'm just going to give you one example my wife came up with this.
All right.
Okay. Josh Bernstein's charged casualty company for $3,400. Is that correct, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you turn the page,
okay. You'll
see that it says that from Robert Spolina, the guy who said that Josh's car was owned by Simon Bernstein, says, please pay as the premium is for Josh's car, not Simon's, that he wasted God knows how much time arguing the car with my dad, that Cy gave to him last year.
if you recall all that.
The car's located at Elliot's home and is used by the family. Now, they were saying pay Josh's car premium. But the bill that we just got, I mean, I, you know, this is what's going to take us forensically to go through, is to charge us for $3,400.
Charge the insurance company and insurance the car?
Well, they insure several things. They insure all my dad's homes.
Right.
They insure my dad's cars. And Josh was an add-on for like a few hundred dollars. They sent the bill that Felina sent to Janet Craig, who's managing these trusts, is for the full payments of my dad's house's insurance, for all the cars of my father, and paid in full, and billed to Josh for, and you can see that in the policy, Cam, help me.
On 0915, it says coverages for 3 locations, 2 vehicles, and then it's a down at the bottom, you can see the policy changes as a vehicle. The 2013 Kia Soul is $364, but the rest for the 2010 Porsche Panorama, and then 3 locations.
Okay, now, you know, Your Honor, I'm not trying to be a pain here.
Let me just tell you. I mean, it would be if one trust was charged a premium quarterly just for one car that is called Josh's car, and the premium is $3,482, and that includes casualty insurance for other people's cars. Mr. Leslie's concerned about that, true?
Yeah, I would have to go through this in detail, Your Honor.
But is that important that someone look at that? Make sure that's correct?
It's definitely important to look at all this stuff. All I can tell you, Your Honor, is, you know, this information was provided to the accountants. The accountants prepared the accountant based upon
the accountants. Though, well, what did they? If Oppenheimer is taking out of one trust an amount that should not be taken proportionally out of that trust, and should be either only 1/3 out of that trust, or there were things that shouldn't even pay out of any of the children's trusts, like Simon's casualty for his house. If that's part of this, then that needs to be, you know, that needs to be looked at. Then often Janice Craig may have not done something correctly when she authorized that Oppenheimer pay this entire bill. If the bill is as forced to be for a lot more items than just quote Josh's car.
I understand your point.
And Your Honor, it should ring a bell to you that Robert Scalina has no authority to be telling Janet Craig anything to do on these trusts. He has nothing to do with them.
Okay. All right. I got it.
Okay. By the way, Your Honor, the point, main point there, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate your understanding that. It's simple. You know, you get 2,000 pages of documents that I should have had plenty of time, a few months, to go through, and we start going through line by line in the first thing.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the thing, Mr. Leslie. You know, it's easy to say that, you know, this is just an accounting, and you know, Mr. Bernstein kind of has a cause, and there's a lot of other issues, but you know, he just pointed out one, it's not the end of the world, but one apparent mistake. So he says, Judge, I haven't had a chance to look to see if there's other careless, apparent mistakes that Oppenheimer, not you, but Oppenheimer, not the accountant probably, but you know, that Oppenheimer made when they decided how to charge these as bills that are attributable to each of the trusts. So he has a right to look at that. I mean, if he, you know, I mean, in a couple moments they found one that seems to clearly be incorrect.
Well, I mean, I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Obviously, they looked at these documents. They've had it for over 35 days. They suggest they haven't looked at the documents. I think it's a little disingenuous.
Well, he said, Candace should found this now.
Okay. So as we went through, she found the needle in the haystack and found the...
Yeah, but you also, let me say something. I'm not happy that your accountant valued their business at zero.
Okay.
I've seen zero accountings in there. I do accounting work in family law, probate, guardianship. Zero means forensically no value. If that's not what he meant, then the account, and the explanation you wanted to give me, and I reserved on saying this, but now I'll say it, is I thought you told me that they use zero because their accounting word processing can't state something else. Well, if that's true, then get another accountant or get another word processing system, but you can never say, I'm going to give an inaccurate financial accounting figure just because my word processing can't give the correct figure. I mean, that's not proper. Okay. I don't want to hear that from your witness, because if he says that, that's even going to be worse. Okay, so that answer, I mean, I've seen a tax return with $1.8 million 7 years ago. I don't know what that means now of income. Who knows? Maybe they're valuable, maybe they're not. I'm not saying that the accountant has to value forensically the fair market value of this, either at the time of receipt stock or the growth of it, because it's a non-marketable security. Okay. He just has to say what he's doing and have a bona fide reason for to say what he's doing, whatever he does. That's the whole thing. So saying zero was not correct.
Under the probate rules, cross probate, there was something I saw that said, when it comes, and it might have been under probate trust, or not probate estate counting type things, that part of it, they give a sample form in the rules.
There's an accounting form in the rule book.
In a rule book, right. I can't remember the darn code. There's a code, right? Or
it's a computer print. It's a form.
It's a rule
book. Sample accounting in a rule.
What's the rule book? Right? That's what I need to know. What's the rule book called?
It's called probate rules.
And it's not the 736.
That's a probate statute.
Okay.
See, trustees do.
I'm totally confused. Okay.
It's a probate rule book.
And in there, there's something that says on these private companies, they got a
rules of civil procedure. The probate code, which is section 5, it's in there.
Okay, so is that applicable to what we're dealing with here when we're accounting?
The answer is it can be, but there's no requirement that be the form used, as long as the form used complies with the trust code.
Well, and there's words in there in that rule book.
Yeah, but so far, here's the thing.
Okay.
The form of it is not that important, it's the content of it.